lot of people started out doing well, but they're not here today. And regardless of what we had to go through, we're here this morning. We want to celebrate Jesus Christ for all the goodness that he has done and that he will continue to do when we yield to him. That's what we've been called to do, to be yielded vessels in the hand of the true and living God. So this morning, if you would, please stand. If you're able to stand. And it's in your bulletins as well as in your Bible. But I know you've read all three of these scriptures. Hebrews 12:1-2, 1 Corinthians 9:24-25, 2 Timothy 4:6-8. But my emphasis this morning is going to be on the last scripture, 2 Timothy 4:6-8. So I'm going to read this in your hearing. Of course, Paul talking to his protege, Timothy. And this comes to the end of Paul's life. Paul saying, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So if you would, look at your neighbor and say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now look to your other neighbor and say, have you really? You may be seated. So Father God, we thank you for this privilege of preaching, proclaiming the gospel to the people of God. We pray, Father God, even now, that the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable to you, O God, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. So how often have you come to the end of something? As I thought through this scripture, talking about Paul, Paul is coming to the end of his life. Or you think back when you finished kindergarten. And I know some of you have to think much farther back than others, but nevertheless. And then you finish middle school. I remember finishing middle school. We had a graduation ceremony, and probably most of you did as well. And then high school. All these milestones throughout your life. And then some of us went to college. And then I really don't remember my last day of UTC, but I remember my last football game. Played VMI, and I'm sure Steve remembers VMI. So they played VMI when he was there, but we ended in a tie. Rodney Allen became an All-American, but that game, he missed the field goal, and we ended in a tie. And that's the only thing I can remember about Rodney. Every now and then I see Rodney on Facebook. Guess what comes to mind? Him missing that field goal. But then, you probably remember the first day of work. And then some of you have retired. You remember your last day of work. But a lot of times we come to the end of something. Just like we're coming today to the end of 2018. Now, often do you reflect back on the things that God has brought you through? How many of you think that you should be farther along now than you are? Because we had different expectations than what the reality is. Talk to my nephew, and he's 30-something, I think, and he's just so disappointed. I should be farther along by now. And I said, Chris, why would you think that? What did you do in your past that will prepare you to be farther along than you are right now? As Christians, some of us have been Christians a long time. But some of us still need milk and not ready for meat. Why is that? Some of us are raising kids now and we point our hearts into them. Surely, and young people, please forgive your parents. We make mistakes. But it's our heart's desire to really pour into you that when you become an adult, you're a productive adult. We can't save you. That's entirely up to God. But we can create an environment in which it's easier for you to follow the godly principles that you see put forth before you. But parents, we're going to make mistakes. Children, forgive your parents. And I'm talking to every one of us in here now, because we're all children. Forgive our parents. They make mistakes, and they keep making mistakes. We want to look at the heart of the matter. And then one day, your child's going to go away to college. Think about those Gwen's and Ariana's getting ready to go away. No, and you want to pour everything you can while you have time, because we don't know how much time we really have. We make assumptions based on our yesterdays. Act as if our yesterdays is going to be the same on our tomorrows. But we don't know how many tomorrows we have. No day is promised. Today could be that day, the appointed time, when we die. We don't know, but with the time we have, that's what we're accountable for. And we need to make the best use of time. Because the days are evil, and we see that on a daily basis. And it seems like it's becoming more and more evil every day, because when you watch the news, the most thing we hear is negative. And we could get this mindset that this world is not going to get any better, and that's the reality. It will not. We know it's going to wax worse and worse and worse and worse. And we should look to that day when our Lord and Savior is appearing. We should look forward to that day. And with that in mind, we don't need to be getting so caught up in the here and now that we forget about when Christ steps out. Either we're going to go be with the Lord, or the Lord is going to step out with a loud shout, the Bible says, and those that are here are going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And we're going to be caught up to meet him in the air. So we need to look forward to that day and not get so caught up in the here and now. Because Paul comes to the end of his life. He's been preaching and pouring into Timothy, and he says, my day of departure is near. Theologians say he could really look and see the gallows, that he were going to be actually the guillotine, that he was going to lose his head. He's in prison right now, but he wants to encourage Timothy. Timothy, I know you've done well with me, but my departure is near. And you're going to have to do everything that God has put into you to do in my absence. As the old saying, one monkey does not stop the show, right? But we love to be around people of like-minded, but sooner or later, we're going to have to stand on our own. Are you prepared to stand when everybody else forsakes you? Are you prepared? Are you prepared to be the only one in your workplace that claimed the name of Jesus Christ? Are you prepared, young people, if you're the only person in your class that claimed the name of Jesus Christ, are you willing to stand on him? Are you willing to stand? People, when you go to your different places of business, when you're pumping gas, and somebody comes to you and asks you about the hope that is within you, are you willing to give an answer? And are you able to articulate the gospel of Jesus Christ? The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ has paid a debt that he did not owe. Because we owed a debt that we could not pay. What debt, you may think in your heart, what debt did I owe? You were born a sinner. Therefore, you were born into sin. Therefore, you incurred debt at your conception. Just like if you were born in a hospital, there was a debt attached to that hospital stay, right? There was a debt to the person coming there delivering you. There was a debt for that bed that your mom slept in. There was a debt that you incurred when they administered whatever the medication was that was administered. And just like that debt, physically speaking, financially speaking, how much more we think about the sin debt that we incurred at our inception. We had nothing to do with it, right? We were born into this. Just like I'm looking at all the faces here this morning, you're African Americans. Did you choose that race? And surely if you knew the hell that came with that, there's no way you would have said, hey, who want to be African American? You'd raise your hand, hey, I do. No, you had nothing to do with it. You were born into it. But the good news is that you owe a debt that you can't pay. And you have to come to the end of that and realize, hey, I owe God. God has one standard, holiness, righteousness. And we fell short. But Jesus Christ willingly came. And we just celebrated Christmas, the birth of Christ. And so many people get caught up in the little bitty baby, but Jesus didn't stay a baby. But that was his starting point here on earth as a human. But that was not Jesus' starting point. Back in the beginning, Genesis, the book of the beginning. Jesus Christ, before the beginning. Jesus has no beginning nor ending. But as a baby, Isaiah said, a child is born, a son is given. There is a distinction between the child and the son. But Jesus Christ came under the penalty of death. So the wise man, pastor preached a few weeks ago. Wise man, they followed and went to seek Jesus Christ. King Herod heard about it. He put a death warrant. Hey, go kill everybody. Everybody! Every time I think about that, how can God, that is able to stop this, allow this? Rachel refused to be comforted because her child was none. He was gone. He died. But we was born to die. And it would be nice if we could choose when we die so we could instruct those to do the right thing after we die. Paul said, I am being poured out as an offering. Traditionally speaking, the Roman had a tradition where at the end of the meal, they would actually pour out wine to their gods. So Paul captured this and said, the meal is done. My life is done. Now I am being poured out. Also, the Levitical priesthood, they had a drink offering. Paul said, I'm being poured out. My departure is near. But before I go, I want to let you know, Timothy, what God has allowed me to accomplish based on the power of the Holy Spirit. And that same Spirit that is working in me is the same Spirit I've seen work through you. Therefore, continue to finish strong. All of us want to finish strong. Amen? Well, I shouldn't make that assumption. How many of you want to finish strong? Because it's easy to say it. Steve was saying, praying that, you know, we should read and understand Scripture more, but reading and understanding is not enough. The Bible said the demons know Scripture and they tremble, but it's not enough. You can know Genesis to Revelation, every single jot and tittle, and yet go to hell. But knowing it is not enough. But you have to have the Spirit of God with the people encouraging you to apply the Word of God. So that's the key application of the Word. Paul is saying, I'm being poured out as a drink offering. And we all are being poured out. I know every now and then I get an opportunity to teach time management. And the average age of the American is 75 years. And I ask them, we get a rule and say, okay, here's 75 years. How old are you now? I'm 50. So guess what? 25 years. Does not matter what I've done in the 50 years I've been here. It does not matter. But I have whatever I have. And I need to make the best use of that time. What did you not do in 2018 that you wish you had done? How much time did you really spend with the Lord? Because you know at the beginning of the year, and we do it, all do it, We say we're going to do better this year than we did last year. And that works well to about the end of January, February. And some of us don't make it out of January until we go right back to doing what we've always done. If you're going to stop doing what you've always done, you have to make a change. And the only way you can change is to change. And when you change and trying to stop doing one thing, empowered by the Spirit of the true and living God, and you're able to stop it by His grace and His mercy, you have to stop it. And then you have to transition from the old thing into the new thing. And that's the hardest thing, that bridge. To get from what you used to do, and you know you shouldn't do it in the first place. But yet and still you do it anyway. You have to stop it. And then transition into the new way. The Bible said we are new creations. New creatures in Jesus Christ. If you've been born again, you're new. Brand new. But you're like a baby. And as a babe in Jesus Christ, we have to desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. And we have to desire it so much that desire should be insatiable, cannot be satisfied. But every opportunity, we need to read the Word of God. Get it in. I met with a guy on Friday, and he was saying, he's 78 years old, and he said, man, it's hard for me to remember. My mind is not as strong as it used to be. And I encourage him, brother, read the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit will bring it to your remembrance. That's one of His responsibilities. If we get the Word in, the Holy Spirit will bring it to our remembrance. But we have to get it in. So Paul is being poured out, but right before he leaves, and theologians say this is the very last letter that Paul actually wrote. And if you look through 1st and 2nd Timothy, I know it's called the pastoral epistles. Nevertheless, it's to the church. Read it. And truly ask the Lord God Almighty, Lord, illuminate my mind that I may read and understand, Lord Jesus. And give me some insight in how can I apply this word. Because the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And once we get it in, the Holy Spirit will pull it out. So I have 4 points this morning. First of all, we need to have a standard of finishing strong. Secondly, the power to finish strong. Thirdly, the motivation for finishing strong. And then the results of finishing strong. So first point, the standard of finishing strong. And it's all found in the Word of God. I know usually at this time of year, if you got a job and if you're usually salaried, you go through these performance evaluation, right? And a lot of times, if you know your manager or the supervisor, we wait right to the end of the year to really ramp up our performance, because usually that's about as far as they go. It's called the recency effect. What have you done for me lately? And people really, okay, you did well in the last quarter of the year, so we're going to give you a 4. And usually the ratings 1 through 5. And most of the time a 4 would be very good. Because it's above average and 4% of your pay would result into whatever that result into. But we should look at our own life as well and have a standard by which we have to live. We ought to make sure it's a standard based on the Word of God and not some standard we created in our own hearts and mind, and not compare yourself with someone else, because you can always find somebody that's not doing as well as you're doing. Amen. All you have to do is go down to the community kitchen. Right. Or go someplace. I'm going to find somebody that's a little lower than I am. And I'm going to compare myself to them. Therefore, based on that standard, I'm doing well. But brothers and sisters, how many of you know that Jesus Christ lowered himself to the lowest of low? He said, those that are going to be great should be the least. You should be found as a servant. He said, I didn't come to be served, but I come to serve. And the servant is the lowest. When they were in the upper room and Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, what we call the Lord's Supper, and nobody was there to wash anybody else's feet, Christ himself got up and took off his outer garments and then wrapped himself with a towel and started washing feet. And that was a lowly servant's duty. But Jesus Christ lowered himself to become the servant. And we have to follow that example. So the Word of God, Jesus is the Word, amen? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ is the standard, and the Word of God is the standard. And we have to be mindful that we choose the right standard. And it cannot be of our own making. And we can't let any other human being tell us that we're doing well. And we're not doing well according to the Word of God. Because people can only see you in this setting. They may think you have it all together. But you look around at all the faces, smiling faces, and it could be pain behind those smiles. Somebody could be shacking with somebody else, but they come into church all dressed up, look churchy. So we would assume that they're living according to Scripture. I don't know any of you the way I know my wife and my girls. It's easy to look at sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so and say, man, I want to be like them. Be careful. Because you don't know how them really are. Follow them around a little time. See if they lose their religion. If you have true religion, which is a relationship with Jesus Christ, you can't lose it. However, you can choose to walk in the spirit or in the flesh. And if you're walking in the flesh, you are liable to do anything. But you have to have the right standard for finishing strong. And that standard is the Word of God. Now, you can go there or you can write it down, but I'm going to Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. And the Word of the Lord reads, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Not only do you meditate on it day and night, but you have to have your heart set on applying the Word of God. And you can't pick and choose what part of the Word you're going to apply. But you have to apply the whole counsel of God. And if you want to be prosperous, if you want to have success, it's in the Word of God. If you want to finish strong, it's in the Word of God. For then, after you meditate on it, after you have your heart on doing it, for then you will make your way prosperous, then you will have success. And then that same theme is picked up in Psalm 1. The Word of God, the standard by which we must live if we want to finish strong. How blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, the Word of God, and in his law, in his word, he meditate day and night. He will be like a tree planted, firmly planted by the streams of the water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. So that's the standard. The standard is the Word of God. Second point, the power for finishing strong. The power for finishing strong, because we have to have power. Paul said, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. And brothers and sisters, we have to fight. We have to fight against some things, and we have to fight for some things. But we have to fight. You have to be a militant follower of Jesus Christ. You can't be passive. Because if you're passive, you're going to be swept away by the world's current. You're going to end up in a place that you never intended to end up in. And some of you may be there this morning. I have good news. You don't have to stay there. The word of God said, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just and willing to forgive you all your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You don't have to stay there. But you have the power to get up. Have to get up. Peter and John was going into the temple at the third, sixth hour, at the ninth hour to pray. Acts chapter 3 and 4. And they saw this man begging. And Peter looked at him and said, look into us. Silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Peter gave him the right hand. But guess what, brothers and sisters? The beggar had to give him his right hand. The beggar could have easily said, man, get out of here. You know I can't walk. I've been begging all my life. My friends, my family members carry me everywhere I go, and you telling me to get up and walk. But he had the power. It was demonstrated by the result. So we have the power. We don't only have access to the power, but we can grab hold of the power. The word of God in 1 John 4 and 4 said, greater is he that is in me, in you, than he that is in the world. Have you ever opened up a refrigerator that's been unplugged for a while and have something stained or dropped in the refrigerator? And if you open a refrigerator, it just almost knocks you down. But guess what? It does not matter the proximity of the plug to the outlet, it does not matter. It's still just as unplugged as it would be if it was miles away from the outlet. But all we have to do is plug it up. And brothers and sisters, that's what I'm encouraging you to do. You have the power. You have the very power of God, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, and the person of the Holy Spirit. If you are saved, you have the power to finish strong. You have the power to fight the good fight of faith. Because everything is predicated on faith. A lot of us used to fight, right? And I'm sure a lot of you used to fight. Think back, I used to ride the bus, and just about every other day, the bus driver would be blowing his horn, telling my mother to come out, because I used to fight every day. I think I was just an angry child. And I'm sure I'm not the only one. But we used to fight. But fight for our own interests. Now we have to fight the good fight. And the good fight is based on the word of God. The word of God tells us about three enemies. The flesh, the world, and the devil. So it's the internal enemy, this flesh. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17 talks about you have to walk in the spirit. So you do not seek to fulfill desires of the flesh. The flesh and the spirit are in contrary with one to another, always in conflict. And if you're not fighting, the flesh is winning. There's no neutrality when it comes to spiritual things. You either winning in the spirit or you losing in the flesh. Now that losing does not include losing your salvation. I'm not saying that. Because you cannot lose your salvation. Once saved, always saved. But you have to make sure you are saved. Make sure your election and calling are sure. So we have to keep that in mind. But once you in the person of Jesus Christ, nothing can pluck you out of his hand. And not only that, but God the Father has us in his hand. And who is stronger than God? Nobody. The Bible talks about if you're going into a strong man's house to take over, you have to be stronger than the strong man. And who is stronger than our true and living God? Nobody. Therefore, there is nothing that can separate us from Jesus Christ. But the fellowship can be broken when we choose to operate in the flesh. But they're in contrary one with another. And you have to make the choice. You have to make the choice moment by moment to either stay in the spirit or operate in the flesh. So you have to fight to stay there. And then you have to fight the world system. Matthew chapter 4, Satan told Jesus, I can give you all this because it was given to me. Satan is the god of this world. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4 and 4 said the god of this world has blinded the minds of those that are unbelievers. And just think about the world system, the world politics, the world's education, the world's fashion, the world's food, and everything else that comes with the world. You look at the commercials. Now, we were looking at a football game, I believe, an AT&T commercial. They were saying, it does not matter where you are. We just want to sell our products. Straight, gay, it does not matter. We just want to sell our products. And if we have that stuff in front of us so long, we start to compromise. Well, it's not that bad. That's what Satan did to Eve. He just sat up beside her and got her to focus on the very thing that God said is forbidden. And the next thing Eve does is to pick the fruit. Not only did she pick the fruit, but she ate the fruit. And the Bible says she gave it to her husband that was with her. Adam went in with his eyes wide open. So we need to always be on guard, operate on the power of God. And that is the power to finish strong. We can finish strong when we come to fight in the flesh. We can finish strong when we come against the world, and we can finish strong when we come in against Satan himself. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. The armor of God, starting at verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole or full armor of God that you will be able to stand firm. Not just stand, but be immovable. Stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual places of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, we must put on the whole armor of God so we can stand when we have to take a stand. Because brothers and sisters, how many of you know when you fight, you have to stand? But as the follower of Jesus Christ, our standing is really down on our knees. Because when it comes to the things of God, they seem upside down compared to the world. We're taking a stand by praying. And the world may not understand that. But you just cannot just pray. Then you have work to do. Bible says that Jesus looked and said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray to the God of the harvest that he may send out more laborers. More laborers, including you. Don't you just pray, say, well, Lord, send them out. Send them out, Lord. I'm going to pray and ask you to send them out. No, 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 no. That's your responsibility as well. We have to go. The Bible says, as you go. Not as you stay and pray. Go. But we have to take up the shield of faith. We have to fight the good fight of faith. The power that we have to fight the fight and run the race. And that race is of faith. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since you have been encompassed or surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, and if we look at the witnesses, the people that are gone on, Hebrews chapter 11, the faith, the great wall of faith. And if you look deeper into the people in chapter 11's lives, they're not perfect. But they're really witnesses of the faithfulness of God. So we have to trust the Lord just like they had to trust the Lord. Just like Paul had to trust the Lord. We have to trust the Lord if we're intending to finish strong. But we have to put on the full armor of God. Charge your feet with the gospel of peace, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. Take up the shield of faith that you can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And then take up the sword, which is the word of God. And the Spirit will use the word of God in combination with the shield of faith. And you can quench every fiery dart. Brothers and sisters, people in the church are going to talk about you. You get in different offices and still start doing different things. And people are going to start pointing fingers and talking about you. Why did he choose him? Why did he choose her? And sometimes you wish you could go back into your corner and say, hey, I don't want to do anything if that comes with it. But you have the power to do the very thing God has put into you to do. So let's talk about the motivation for finishing strong. So what is the motivation of finishing strong? First of all, God loves you. And we can love him now because he first loved us. And he demonstrates his own love toward us even now. The wages of sin is death. And how often do you sin? How often do I sin? But because of his compassion, we are not consumed. Jesus Christ has paid for every one of our sins. Everyone. Yesterday's. And let's be honest, today. And tomorrow. Not that we should premeditate sin and presume that God is going to allow us to live through that sin, but we need to have short accounts with God. When we sin, we need to run back to him. So, Lord, please forgive me and give me a life that is holy. Make me more sensitive to sin. Give me a better desire. If I don't want to sin at all, when I have that choice and that sin looks good, Achan saw the forbidden thing and he got it and hid it in his tent. But how many of you know that you cannot hide your sin from God? God knows all about us. Therefore, when we go to him, we can go to him freely. Oh, I used to work at McKee and I lied on my application. And every now and then, fear would just grip me. Like, man, eventually they're going to come and tap me on my shoulder and say, hey, HR needs to see you. But one day I was wrestling with the Lord and the Lord said, come clean, come clean. And like, Lord, I don't want to come clean. Come clean. Well, Lord, if I do, I'm going to lose my job and therefore we can't, you know, pay the bills. And he said, trust me. Trust me. Who do you trust in, man or me? And I wrestled with God all night long. So I understand how Jacob wrestled with the Lord. And I said, okay, Lord, I yield. And then when I confessed, it just freed me up. I don't have to worry about that anymore. Same thing with God. When we come to the Lord, tell him, guess what? He knows anyway. What can you hide from God? Achan was found out. And how many of you know our sin does not only impact us, but it impacts everybody that's within our sphere of influence. But it could impact us and cause us to do some things. But once we come clean, so the motivation for finishing strong is the love of God. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So it's all about love. Love, love, love. Because if you love someone, you're going to do right by them. Men, married men, the Bible said, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Love your wife as you love your own body. Because what man in his right mind is going to abuse his own body. So if you want to abuse your own body, why in the world would any man abuse his wife? So it's love. Love the Lord thy God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And not only love the Lord God that way, but love your neighbor as yourself. And your neighbor is everybody. That's what the smart guy asked Jesus. Well, who is my neighbor? And the Lord just dropped that parable about the Good Samaritan. Go do likewise. So we have to be motivated by love to finish strong. And then last but not least, the results of finishing strong. Verse 8, if you're back in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. Not only to me, not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Then as I read and studied through this, some people may think that the crown is the result. Therefore, we're motivated by getting the crown. But our motivation must be love. And the result of that love, the result of that obedience, is that we will receive a crown. And I know what you're thinking. You may be thinking, well, I'm going to have a little bitty crown. I'm going to be walking around and people are going to be looking at my crown like, look at that little bitty crown. But the size of your crown does not matter. The more important thing is that you're going to be there. And Revelation talks about you don't get to keep the crown anyway. You get the crown and cast it at the Lord's feet. And oh, what a wonderful day, brothers and sisters, will that be when we're able to cast our crowns at the feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the goal of our life now, we want to finish strong, is that we will be able to cast our crowns at his feet. And that's the result, that we can cast our crowns at the feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So as you thought through this with me this morning, you may feel that I've not fought the good fight. Matter of fact, I've not been fighting at all. And I've not found any resistance from the world, the flesh, or the devil. Then my question to you, are you saved? Or you may be in one another category. You may, well, I fought some. I've had some victories. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you that you can have victory over everything. There's no such thing as a Christian that has to sin. You choose to sin. I choose to sin. And most of the time, sin does not catch me by surprise. Most of the time, I go into sin with my eyes wide open. And then try to justify it. There's no justification for it. Or you could be in the camp and say, yes, I'll look back over my 2018 and I've truly fought the good fight of faith. I've rested on the Lord Jesus Christ. Every time the internal, the external, the infernal enemy came against me, I was victorious. Yes, I've finished the race. And this race is based on faith. Looking unto Jesus Christ, which is the author and finisher of my faith. But before I run, I have to take some things off. I have to take off that weight. And that weight is not necessarily sin. That weight could be working overtime. That weight could be looking at too much television. That weight could be giving your kids more than you should give them. That weight could easily be something that is intrinsically good, but you're overindulging yourself in it. But then I have to lay aside that sin that so easily ensnares or entangle me. Whatever that sin is for you. And we all have our pet sins. Matter of fact, we've been committing that sin so much, we say it's not sin anymore. Now, come on, preacher. You telling me I can't do that? I'm not telling you can't do that. The word of God. Once again, you have to make sure you have the true standard. Because if you make up your own standard, you say anything is okay. talk to some of the older saints, and some of them are starting to compromise. Well, shacking up is not too bad. It's better for them to shack up so they don't have to worry about getting a divorce. But call it what the Word calls it. The only way we can finish strong is that we keep the faith. The only way we can run, fight, look forward to that day of His appearing, is that we keep the faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. So the key is love. We have to exercise that love based on our faith. So are you prepared to finish strong? And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ and the free pardon of your sin, you're just going to finish. You're going to lift up your eyes in hell. And on that day of His appearing, you're going to stand before the white throne seat of Jesus Christ to hear Him say, "Depart from me. I never knew you." And cast you into the lake of fire, for the worm never dies. Never dies. But mercy is available to you. Mercy. And I'll finish on this story. There was a time when time, justice, and mercy planned to have a meeting. And they said, "Okay, we'll meet tomorrow at 12 o'clock. Of course, time is right on time. Justice is right on time. And they're waiting, and mercy wasn't there. And they knew mercy to be a person of His word. And they waited to 12:30, still no mercy. So, okay, we'll give mercy 30 more minutes. Then 1 o'clock comes, like, "Okay, let's go." And they start to go, but they see a cloud of dust coming up a dusty road. And they look, and they saw Mercy limping. One of his pants leg was burned. His arm, shirt of his arm was torn up. And his other leg was wet. And he comes limping. He said, "Hey, Mercy, what happened?" He said, "I was on my way, but I heard Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego crying out for mercy." And he said he went in there and conditioned the fiery furnace to the point where they were not even burned. He said, "That's how my leg got burned." He said, "A little farther, I heard Daniel crying out for mercy in the lion's den." And he said, "I went in there and I got the lions and I rocked them to sleep. And one of the lions needs something to chew on. So that's what happened to my arm sleeve." And then he said, "I started running and running and I heard the children of Israel crying out for mercy. They were going through the Red Sea, so I went in and provided mercy for them." And he said, "That's how my other leg is wet." So this morning, brothers and sisters, mercy is available. Regardless of where you are, if you're saved and you're losing your battles, you're not finishing well. If you're struggling in the middle, well, I'm winning some battles, I'm finishing some courses, but it's rough. Or if you're doing well, and you can say, "I fought the good fight. I finished the race by keeping the faith." Regardless of where you are, mercy is available. So available that God renews His mercies. How often? Daily. So we're able to finish strong. God bless you. Father God, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, Father God, for giving us an opportunity to reflect back on our lives. Regardless of what camp we're in, Lord, we know that Your mercy is always available. Jesus Christ is mercy Himself. He provided mercy to us based on grace. Because grace is a gift that we did not deserve. And You cannot have grace without mercy. So we thank You, Father God, for having mercy on us to the point where You brought us into Your kingdom, out of the kingdom of darkness.